Welcome to the program today. My name is Keith Smith. I'm an instructor at Calvary Chapel Bible Ministry School in La Mirada, and we're glad you've joined us here at Solid Ground. Pastor Brian Parrish continues this week's study entitled Principles of Faith as he goes verse by verse through Joshua chapter 3, verses 11 through 17. So let's go to Pastor Brian Parrish from the pulpit of Calvary Chapel, La Mirada.
Read on verse 18. It says, "Who contrary to hope, in hope believed, so that he became the father of many nations according to what was spoken, so shall your descendants be." There was no hope that Abraham had in this promise coming to pass in the way that God said he would do it. He was old. His wife was beyond the age of bearing. There's no way that this should have took place. So there was no hope in the circumstances, but yet he continued to believe. That's the type of faith that God says we're to walk by as Abraham did. That when the circumstances say it's not going to happen, there's no hope, you don't give up. Because is God controlled by the circumstances, or does he control the circumstances? He's in control of them. And when the circumstances say no hope, you don't give up on the Lord. He's the one that could raise the dead. He's the one that could bring life where there isn't anything. And he's not bound by circumstances. He's above them and he's in charge of them. So we need to take a step back and say, Lord, you're the one that's in control. And although these set of circumstances give me no reason to hope, I'm going to put my hope and trust in you. We walk by faith and not by sight. Oftentimes, many things that I see, it says, this can't happen. But you have to factor in the supernatural power of God, and anything is possible. So he goes on to say, and not being weak in faith. And that's where we miss out on the blessing of God, when we're weak in faith. I'll agree with you that God could do whatever he wants when he wants. And he doesn't have to require us to walk by faith. He doesn't have to require us to pray. Sometimes he just does things, just blesses things and does works, and we're really not walking in faith, and we haven't really prayed about it. God just does it because he's God. For example, there's a widow, her only son died. She just walks up to the funeral procession and raises the boy right back to life. They weren't asking him to do that. They didn't have faith. They weren't even praying about that. Jesus just took it upon himself because he's sovereign God, and he raised that boy to life. But by and large, on a day-to-day basis, 99 out of 100 times, God's going to say you need to pray, you need to believe in order for these things to come about. And when we're weak in faith, we miss out on the blessing of God. Many times Jesus said to his disciples after they failed in a task of seeing the power of God come into the situation, "O ye of little faith." That's what he said to Peter as Peter walked on the water for a time and he saw the waves and he sunk and the Lord rescued him. He said, "O ye of little faith." So often, they missed out on the power of God working because of a lack of faith or a little faith. James tells us the same thing, that, hey, there's wisdom from God. He gives it abundantly, but don't ask doubting, because you're like being tossed to and fro by the sea. Don't expect to receive anything from the Lord. So many times in our life, God requires us, if we're going to come into the fullness of what he wants to do, is to walk by faith, and we can't let the circumstances weaken our faith. That's so often what happens. We wonder why we're missing out on the blessing of God, because we're letting our circumstance come and cloud and diminish and just suppress our faith that we need to have in the Lord. God wants us to trust him. I believe he delights in faith. The Bible says without faith it's impossible to please him. Faith blesses the heart of God, because we're saying we're looking to you, Jehovah Jireh, my provider. You have provided for generation after generation after generation. You're going to provide in this situation. The circumstances may not look that way, but I'm trusting you, Lord. That's what he would desire of us. And it goes on to say, he did not consider his own body already dead since he was about 100 years old and the deadness of Sarah's womb. That's a circumstance. He didn't consider it and focus on those. Look at this. He did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief. This word waver is really interesting. It's a graphic word. And it literally means to have a discussion or debate in your mind. You're saying, I believe God. The next thing you're saying, yeah, but these circumstances are pretty bad and they're getting worse. Is God going to come through? And you're dialoguing in your own mind. One minute you're believing God. The next minute you're wondering if God's going to come through. It says he didn't waver that way. When you find yourself wavering, just stop. The Bible says bring every thought captive to the obedience of Christ and trust the Lord. God will not disappoint you. He will always come through one way or another. God delights in us walking by faith. He honors faith, and he will bless as we put our trust and confidence in him. Abraham came into all that God had for him through faith, and we're exhorted here in this chapter to do the same. One other example of not letting circumstances control your faith, turn with me over to Exodus chapter 15. And we as a church have just come through a difficult situation, one that's hard to understand with the mind and the emotions, where we tried to pursue a piece of property and we didn't get it. And it looked as if this was the blessing of God, the hand of God, and we put money involved and we lost that money. It's hard to explain that. I don't have answers. No one else has come up with any answers. But I do want to encourage you. As I was listening to a study on K-Wave this last week, and as this pastor went over this portion of scripture and discussed it, I just thought the Lord was speaking to my heart as a pastor as well as for us as a congregation. What we find happening here in Exodus chapter 15 is God has just brought the people out of Egypt. There's a powerful deliverance through the Red Sea, and then they start worshiping God. And they're all excited how awesome God is, how he wiped out their enemies. And they're praising him in a wonderful joy. But look at verse 22. So Moses brought Israel from the Red Sea. Then they went out into the wilderness of Shur, and they went 3 days in the wilderness, and they found no water. That is a serious problem. You need water to survive. They go out in the wilderness, and there's no water there. And this is God leading them, because he's leading them to the promised land. They have to go into this wilderness to eventually get to the promised land. And God wanted these people to go right into the wilderness. He would minister to them, probably give them the covenant and the Ten Commandments and all that, and then bring them right into the land, but they didn't walk by faith, and they were cut off. And this generation for 40 years wandered the wilderness until this one, Joshua, we're reading about. But notice, it's the Lord, I believe, leading Moses right to this very spot where there's a lack. There's no provision. Now, when they came to Marah, they could not drink the waters of Marah, for they were bitter. So now they come to this place where there is water, but it's bitter now. So it's kind of like a double whammy here. First, there's no water. We find water, their expectation, they're ready to drink, and they can't drink it. This is the Lord leading this entire group of people right to that spot. And you know what? God leads us to bitter situations as well, to bitter places. And he wants to see how we're going to respond. Are we going to walk in faith even though we're here and there's a lack of provision, or the provision that we have isn't good enough, isn't sufficient? That's the only way I know how to describe the situation as a church. There's a bitterness that's involved. I mean, our hopes were so high, and then we came crashing down pretty quick. And there was a bummer. That's probably close to being bitter, right? It's like, what's wrong with this picture? And we can't be like the people of Israel here. Look what it goes on to say. It says, they could not drink the water, for it was bitter. Therefore, the name of it was called Marah, and the people complained against Moses, saying, what shall we drink? These people complained and complained and complained over and over and over again. I mean, they just saw the power of God work through the Red Sea, through squashing the most powerful nation on the earth at that point, delivered them out, blessed them with material blessings, and now you think God's going to lead them and say, oh yeah, I kind of forgot you guys need water, don't you? They should have trusted, hey, God's done this. Let's look at how he's provided for us. He's going to supply in this situation, but they complained. The Bible says other places when they complained, says the Lord heard it and he was not happy. God brought them to this place. And look what the Lord does. Even though they complain, verse 25, so he cried out to the Lord, and the Lord showed him a tree. When he cast it into the waters were made sweet. Therefore, he made a statue and an ordinance for them, and there he tested them. God tested them there. This was a test from the Lord. Moses responded properly by looking to the Lord and asking, crying out to God. And he showed him a tree, and he put the water in the tree, and the waters became sweet now. That's the way the Lord works so often. Brings you to a bitter situation, and he turns it into something sweet. But that time it's bitter, he's testing you. How are you going to respond? Are you going to walk in faith? Are you going to let the circumstances control you and get mad at people? Oh, why did they do that? And this person did that to me. And the church and God and Clinton's always blamed for everything. How do you respond? God wants you to trust him. Because where did God provide for these people? Right in the midst of the bitterness. Right from the bitter water, he changed that source into something sweet. And God wants to work in your circumstances, although they're bitter, and to turn it around to something sweet. He makes all things beautiful in its time. Do we believe the Lord for such? And as I heard that study, I began to think, I don't know what the Lord wants to do with that property. I don't know what he wants to do with us in relationship to that as a church, but I do know that he wants us to walk by faith. He wants us to trust him. Because the Lord that we serve is not the type of God that says, all right, everyone get out there on the edge of that limb. Get out there and trust me. And then he sneaks over and cuts it off and we all go falling down. And you go, you know, that's not the Lord. But that's what happened to us. We got out there and the limb came crashing down. That's not the nature of God. It's the nature of God to allow us to get to bitter circumstances, but then he finds that tree and he makes it right. And that's what we need to believe the Lord to do in this situation. That's what I believe the faith that he is asking us as a congregation to trust him. Not to trust him, this is exactly, God's going to do this, but he's going to change this situation around. He knows that we need more room. He knows that we need more of a parking lot. Amen? Probably bitter. We should call that Mar out there, the parking lot. God wants to bring the increase. We need to look to him and to trust him. It's interesting that he used a tree, isn't it? 2,000 years ago, he used a tree, a cross. Hung his son on there and definitely took something that was bitter, death and sin and work of the devil, and conquered it and made something awesome, sweet out of it. Amen? Out of our lives as well. So God's in the business of turning something bitter into sweet. We need to trust him. Because he never disappoints us. He never lets us down. We need to walk by faith, and he will honor that faith. And I know that myself and others, we gave money towards that in faith. We gave it to the Lord. Anytime you deposit money with the Lord, there's going to be a return on it in his kingdom. Anytime you do the work of the Lord, he's going to honor that. You gave towards that, the Bible says he's the one that'll bless. So I don't know what's going to happen, but I know God's going to take a bitter situation, and he is going to make it sweet. We need to put our eyes to him and watch him do that very thing.